The 2020 Whānau Marama New Zealand International Film Festival is here from July 24th to August 2nd. This year, for the first time, it is available for you to view at home online. Head to nziff.co.nz to view the programme. Amanda Peter talked to the 2020 Whānau Marama New Zealand International Film Festival director, Martin Raybarts.
Kia ora koutou, speaking today with Martin Raybarts, who's the new director or Kaurangi, is that right?
No, it's Kai Whakatere, actually.
Oh, Kai Whakatere.
Yeah. My Te Reo Māori title was adapted, actually, by Te Ara Whakahi, who's on our board, the film director. He was like, no, you're a Kai Whakatere, bro.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Which I like that. It's, you know, navigator, the place, the person who sees ahead.
Yes. Yeah. And I do feel this year's festival is very much around those ideas of navigation and identity. I think Te Pae's endeavour is such a remarkable way that allows us in Aotearoa to completely reframe the way we look at the world and the Pacific.
I agree. I love that it turns the old European-centric paradigm of how world geography is laid out, just completely turns that on its head. That's something that I think is really important for the festival in the future as well, actually. It's part of our new kind of ethos of who we are and how we see ourselves in the world. One of the core ideas also of our new branding, which I hope you've seen and has definitely a sort of Pacific rootedness in it, is that we see ourselves sitting at the heart of the Pacific Ocean, which doesn't separate us from the rest of the world, but is the thing which ties us, connects us to the rest of the world, directly to Latin America, to North America, to Asia, to Russia, if you go far north in the Pacific, to Australia, and that, you know, particularly our First Nations people, the Aboriginal people there. This is something that's really important to me, that how we see ourselves as the festival in the future. And Te Pae's endeavour speaks directly to that Europeans came to the Pacific, Cook, and just blindly overlooked the degree of mastery of navigation and ownership of the Pacific that was there in place when they arrived.
In communal nature, I found that film profound, because it was about that idea of the leaders and the masters of knowledge and the way that creativity and art, Te Pae's art, and then to have Michael Tuffrey involved, it was just a truly fantastic thing, and I think just has set such an amazing tone. Also with Rūrangi, I think that speaks so much about a world I'd love to inhabit, actually.
Absolutely. Wouldn't you just? I mean, when I saw that web series as a work in progress, I was thrilled by it. It was actually recommended to me by my friend Lloyd Micklejohn, who works at the New Zealand Film Commission, who were looking at it to see how it could be elevated to beyond just being a web series. And the authenticity from which it comes, the space of being made for and by trans people, of trans community, queer community people, is just terrific. I mean, you feel that in every frame, I think.
I think so. I love the hashtag is by us and about us. And as somebody who works with young people in maybe there's two more horses in the town that I'm working with in education, but those kind of overriding fears and kind of conservatism and all of that stuff, having just watched Disclosure, I found that Rūrangi is just so exciting, and I'm so excited to see that there's actual out and about screenings of this so that communities can get together.
Absolutely. I mean, it was very important to us that this festival, once COVID restrictions, we saw that they were dropping, we focused on bringing a certain number of films back into cinemas, and all of the New Zealand films in particular, urgently needed to have that public presentation so people could come, so there could be live Q&As, but particularly things like Rūrangi, Te Pae, Loimata, these are, and Those Girl on the Bridge, these are all community-rooted films. and they needed a public space where that community could gather and celebrate them and see themselves and discuss their own stories being told finally. I think I'm really so pleased we've been able to do that.
So am I. I think that's the most incredibly fantastic thing, because I think as someone who, you know, Christchurch is a different community because of those years of the quakes. So
yeah,
we really understand the importance of being with each other. That's
for sure. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what COVID is going to teach people in weird and mysterious ways, is that actually it is our communities that bind us so strongly together, and it just to be in a space and share that joy is fantastic. I thought Girl on a Bridge is that's a profound film,
isn't it? Yeah.
I think it's like, I can see that on the international stage just everywhere, in the same way as I can see Rurangi as well, that those intimate yet universal themes. And I think Girl on a Bridge is such a smart, they're both so smart in that their kind of conversation around social media and the internet is really,
yeah,
is really, really fascinating.
Meeting Jazz personally, we were recording a conversation with her and Leanne Pooley last week up in Auckland. I mean, she's an extraordinary young woman by any stretch of, you know, measurement. And yet I loved it in the film, she was also still in a place of healing, and the women in particular who were the crew and the team who made that film really recognized that and lifted her up as she went on this journey to make her own web series. I thought that was that was where the tenderness and the intimacy came from, I think, that the understanding this wasn't a documentary subject, this was a, you know, an extraordinary young woman,
yeah,
and still in a place of change and becoming.
And I also thought that was a remarkably prescient kind of move to show those relationships around the construction of documentary. It's such a fascinating art form, and it takes so much trust and movement, and so I thought that was really totally interesting. One of the things I'm really interested about too is the Australian movies. My gosh, that True History of the Kelly Gang just lost. And it just chewing up the screen, man. Even just a still shot from it is absolutely astonishing.
Yeah, it's quite something. I was really pleased that I could have the true history of the Kelly Gang as the opening film this year. It's a wild, wild ride. It's hugely entertaining. It's deeply disturbing. It's visually stunning. I mean, it's really, you know, it's a big piece of cinema. And, you know, Justin Kurzel, he's a really ambitious filmmaker, and his ambition is there as an artist all across the film. So I have to say, you know, usually we might not have been quite able to program that as the opening film because we have corporate gala opening sponsors,
yeah,
and you have to make sure that they, as an audience, that their usual guests will be happy with the film. I'm not entirely sure they would be happy with the Kelly Gang, but as a festival director, I'm delighted that this year, without those big gala openings at the Civic or the Isaac Theatre Royal or the Regent down in Dunedin, that I can program what I like. And I think this film, you know, some people may not like it, others will be delighted, I know. It's divided audiences from its first showing in Toronto last year.
See, that's even better. It's got two of my favourites in it, actually. Thomasine McKenzie is just...
Yeah.
I loved her in... was it The Lost and Trait? The outside... The one about where she was with the dead and they were living in the wilderness. They'd sort of left community.
Society. Oh, yes. The title escaped me as well.
She's quite astonishing. And I love that Marlon Williams is in it too, because he...
I know, fabulous.
So rock and roll. And I just see him as a natural kind of extension of that whole thing. Also, I was really interested in Ellie and Abby and Ellie's dead aunt. I thought that looked like a cracker of a little film.
Oh, it's, you know, as I think I was saying to someone the other day, it's like every film festival needs a beautiful, you know, lesbian teen romance.
Yeah.
And so we've got ours. and you know, with Rachel House in it also as a you know, major supporting character. So yeah, Australia I think has always delivered stories that speak to our experience across the Tasman. You know, we're so connected in so many ways. Same with the Kelly Gang. I think we share a very close colonial history, give or take, yep. You know, a penal colony situation. But there are always stories in Australia that I think speak directly to us here.
And I think too, it's like that idea of Rurangi about seeing yourself on screen, and then like Tupaia and
yep.
Loimata particularly too, that idea that that time and relationship is not necessarily a continuum. It's just like a line. It's like something that surrounds us always, and I think that's
right. And rolls out in front of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm always a bit of a fiend for the music films, and I'm very excited about Last and First Men.
Last and First Men, which was the choice of Petra Brett Kelly, who is the Arts Foundation laureate this year. So every 2 years there will be, you know, it's a new thing, but she's the first arts laureate from the Arts Foundation. And she, we'd fallen in love with this film, and she gets to curate one, and she had already fallen in love with it as well. So that was like a perfect match. So she's chosen this as her curated film. I mean, the composer who directed this, his only film, was just a genius. It's a piece of installation art, really. It's something that, you know, you would find beautifully in, you know, a major art museum playing in one of those darkened rooms.
Yeah.
It doesn't lean heavily on narrative. It does lean heavily on Tilda Swinton's presence, which is fantastic. And visually, it's just glorious. It's a piece of moving image art. So, you know, I think people will be, you know, it's unforgettable.
That's right. And even from that one still is that still slides across the screen in the film festival, in the online film festival.
Yeah.
You're just
yeah.
like, oh my God, that's just amazing. I want also the Dark City Beneath the Beat.
Yep.
That's another one. See, I think that's a very prescient kind of film of its time.
Well, it was really important to us to find stories and also stories that had some hope and you know, in them as well, that spoke to what's an incredibly current story unfolding in the USA in particular. I mean, it's not unfolding now, it's again tearing its way screaming to the surface, you know. And, you know, Dark City Beneath the Beat is one of those stories that does speak to an African-American experience.
I thought that Hong Kong, actually, I thought the Hong Kong...
Hong Kong moments. Hong Kong, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, as somebody who's has a relationship with Hong Kong, that same kind of thing. It's just, I love the way that a film festival can kind of allow you the distance. I think people are really deluded if they think that they can attain critical thinking through the wonderment of, you know, online streaming services. It's just such such a deficit of an idea. So anyhow, I really like the idea that you can actually just get completely reframe your thinking. A film festival allows you to do.
Yeah, I'm really glad you recognise that, because, you know, if anything, that would be something I'd hope is my signature that I'm bringing to the festival as the director, is that, for me, the films that have mattered in my life are films that matter, with a capital M. They're things that teach me something about the human condition, that alter my way of being from the beginning. You know, I've changed from when I've started seeing that film, when I've finished seeing that film. I've learned something, or I've, you know, been challenged to see the world in a different way. So I think each of the films in the festival, in its own way, does that. And I'm really glad you mentioned it, because that, for me, is the point of a film festival versus, a brilliant service like Netflix, which has a gazillion pieces of moving image storytelling on it. But I think festivals can, have a deeper kind of matrix to drill down into, yeah. and I hope we've succeeded this year.
Yeah, I think you really have. I'm really excited for it. I can see a couple of pieces that I can drag into the classroom. I look forward to meeting you in the future, and we can talk, because next year is going to be hella interesting in terms of kind of content that's sort of will have been created over the last sort of
absolutely years. Yeah. I mean there's one film that was created in New Zealand under the lockdown, and it's in the Kiwi Shorts collection.
Oh.
It's called Garage Stories, a strange collective experience of isolation. It was shot in Wellington by a really cool company here called Reslow. They were behind it, but they just composed a day's story across Wellington under lockdown. It's sort of moments in different people's lockdown lives. So, you know, those sorts of work that are affected by what we're living through in terms of COVID, we have a really cool little film directly speaking to that right now.
How fascinating. Well, you go have a terrific day. And,
thank you.
And I look forward to, I really look forward to the next, from the 24th to the 3rd, I think it's going to be a remarkable thing for us.
Yeah, I am too, and I'm so glad you are. Thanks for calling.
No worries. You go have a lovely day, and I'll see you later. Take care.
Cool. Okay, bye.
The 2020 Whānau Marama New Zealand International Film Festival from July 24th to August 2nd. Head to nziff.co.nz.